Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the UDRP call on the 31st of May. And on the call, we have Carlos Oliveira, John Barrow, Christina Rosette, David Taylor, and for staff, we have Margie Malam and myself, Glenda Sanchez. Thank you very much. I think it's over to you, Margie.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Hope you guys had a good weekend for those of you in the U.S. that had the holiday. I thought the purpose of the call today would be pretty brief to just discuss how we want to set up the session for the Singapore meeting on the UDRP. In case you guys aren't aware, we did publish the issue report on Friday, and I don't know if you've had time to look at it at all, but I have it posted on the Adobe Connect room. And I think really the next steps are to discuss how we would like to set up the Singapore session. I've got it scheduled from Wednesday, June 22nd, from 8:30 to 10:30. So we have a two-hour allotment for that session. And I also, when I published the issue report on Friday, I opened the public comment period until July 15th, as we had talked about in our prior call. So that's essentially it. Want to talk about how we'd like to set up the format and who should be invited to be a speaker in Singapore? Anyone have any suggestions?
Did you have anything in mind, Margie?
Well, I guess what I had in mind was I thought it might be useful to perhaps allow me to give a brief overview of what the recommendations are from the issue report. I don't think that would take very long. Essentially, if you've had a chance to look through it, we recommended that a PDP not be initiated at this time. We felt that the consensus on the webinar was pretty wide, far-reaching, and then that it's probably best not to do one at this time. We did make a recommendation that if work be done on this, to have a recommendation that an expert team of folks that are really expert in the UDRP work on process issues, because I think that was the theme that we heard through the webinar, was if anything was to be looked at, it would be process issues. And we felt that there may be a way to do that without actually going through a formal PDP. So my suggestion would be to give a brief introduction, in the session about that, and then invite, speakers from the different perspectives, similar to what we did in the webinar, but not as many speakers. I think that's too many to handle in a two-hour session. And then I think we would also suggest having a, open mic session, because I think that's really the purpose, is to hear from others that haven't had a chance to speak up yet on this topic. How does that sound?
Well, I think, this is John, I think the open mic is probably the most important aspect of it, of the three that you cite. I might even say that we probably could even do away with having any of the people who spoke at the on the webinar participate. It might be that all we really need is for a presentation of what we think we heard on that webinar from the experts, and then open it up to the community so that we now have the companion piece to it. I was surprised, I guess, as maybe some of you were, as to the seeming unanimity in terms of that the process, or that the program works well as it is and may benefit only from some process tweaks. I do have a question, though. I guess I'm confused about whether precedence has a role or not in these hearings. Maybe, Christina, you can tell me a little bit about that. There seemed to be, did I hear that precedence doesn't play in the UDRP process?
I mean, technically, I don't know. I mean, I think David's probably a better person to answer that question. Yes and no is unfortunately the answer. I realize that's not terribly helpful, but David, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. Hi, Christina. David. Yeah. I think your answer is the right one. I mean, there's no you're not bound to follow anybody whatsoever when you're a panelist on these things. But there's clearly sort of a, if you look at the WIPO, for instance, you've got a majority and a minority view, and most panelists will look at those and go, well, do I agree with the arguments of the majority? If there is a majority and a minority view, this is, or do I fall within the minority? So some panelists feel things should be decided one way, and other panelists feel the other. So there is you could say there's a weight of precedence there, but there's no need to follow it. But panelists generally do follow in the name of consistency. But you know, each case is decided on its merits.
I'm not necessarily averse to what John is suggesting, but I do have some suggestions. The first being that I think to the extent, Margie, that through the written responses and the webinar itself, you put together a list of what folks identified as quote-unquote process issues, that list be identified with the disclaimer that it's not exclusive, it's not, you know, these are the issues that will definitely be considered, but just so that folks who may not have attended the webinar have a sense as to what exactly we're talking about when we say process. The other thing, and I think this is a pretty important point generally and particularly for the IPC, I think there needs to be some mechanism to take input before the panel, given that, frankly, there aren't going to be a lot of folks from the IP community in Singapore. And that given the time difference between Singapore and pretty much everywhere else, that time difference is going to preclude, in most cases, real-time remote participation. And that, you know, given that it is the brand owner community, that for the most part, you know, obviously the registrar community is the other half, you know, has a very clear idea as to here are the process issues we've encountered, here's how we can figure those out. I don't think it would be appropriate, given those factors, to rely solely on the input that's given at the mic.
Tina, how do you suggest getting that input? I do have, like I said, the public comment period open, so I could do a summary of what has been received so far. But as you know, most people tend to wait till it's close to the end to actually file.
I think you should just note, and frankly, you know, given the time difference for... Given the time difference issue generally, I mean, I think folks should have an opportunity to, for all the sessions, and particularly for this one, that I can say, here's the session. We understand that due to time differences, remote participation may be difficult for many. So if you want to submit comments ahead of time or questions, et cetera, here's how you can do it.
I think we have a function already to do that. Let me check with our remote participation folks, because I believe there's a way to through the chat function once the session's set up to do that already.
But the problem is that you can't – I mean, I know that we use that for Nairobi, but it was very hit or miss, at least from the perspective of somebody who was participating remotely.
Yeah. Okay, let me find out about that. I'm trying to think of – or perhaps – the other thing I could do is have instead of having the formal public comment process, you know, that forum that we use, have it be through the wiki page for the drafting team. So it could be much more informal, but I'll have to check with IT to make sure that anyone who wants to provide comments can, and I can actually set up a page for that in the wiki page, you know, for this drafting team. How does that sound as a one way of dealing with that?
So that you could submit public comments only through the wiki page or in addition to the regular email process through the wiki process?
Yeah, in addition. And because, you know, what I'm thinking of is a public comment period, pretty formal, and if you're using the wiki page, you can, you know, it's kind of like an email sort of, you can be a lot less formal. So, and I'll just make sure when I summarize the public comments that I capture both. when I get down to actually drafting. And I can actually put on the session page, you know, when we set up the description of who's speaking and what the format is, I can, invite questions and post a link to the wiki page. So it'll be just right there for anyone who wants to, submit some information. Does that sound like a good idea?
It sounds like a good idea, because now I'm beginning to think, based on what Christina said, that there may not be a whole lot of people in Singapore. I mean, what do we think the attendance is going to be at the meeting?
Not high from us, I can tell you that. We'll have maybe 8 people there.
Hmm. Christina, you and David, you'll be there, eh?
Yep, we're both there.
Yeah, and off the top of my head, I haven't looked at the people that have signed in yet and whether it's a large number. I haven't heard it was going to be low attendance, but I imagine it will be lower than, some of the recent ones, particularly the one in the U.S. and the one in Europe. But, Christina, to address your other point, if you flip to the issue report that's on the Adobe Connect room on 19, I actually do have the issues identified.
Right. No. I saw that, but I was talking about in terms of going through that at the session, so that it isn't just kind of we think it should only the staff recommendation is blah blah blah, and here's why. I mean, I saw that. I thought that was very helpful, and I think it would be helpful to include that in the presentation itself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's right. Because it'll give people an idea as to where the bulk of the comments were and how. Whether they're considered policy or process. With regard to the speakers, I do note that a number of people probably felt rushed because, with 5 minutes, on the webinar, it was perhaps too short a time to really delve into some of the issues. I don't know if you all are thinking we have different faces or the same people come up and elaborate a little more on what they were saying. I know that, for example, the WIPO folks would like to participate in this session. They've already contacted me and asked, if they could participate. And I just simply told them that we're going to meet as a group and decide who the speakers are, and I'll let them know. So I think the idea is that they and probably others feel that they didn't have sufficient time to really express their opinions.
But even at that, it was still 2 hours long. I mean, we're not going to do a 5-hour meeting.
No, and that was very difficult to manage that many speakers. I mean, it was good to get those viewpoints, but it was a lot, and a lot of those folks won't even be in Singapore, so it's not going to be the same, but I guess the question for you all is, do you want to go back to that list to see who will be in Singapore that wants to follow up, or do you want to invite others that might?
David here, Marge. I've just got a couple of things to say. Firstly, I think the issues report, the draft you've done there, is really good, because I picked that up at breakfast this morning and starting reading it. Over breakfast, and actually found myself reading it with interest. So it does read well, and you pick up a lot of issues and a lot of the things in there. So I thought that was really, really good, especially for those, having been on the call and heard a lot of it, you captured a lot of the key comments really well. So I think that is very helpful for anybody who wasn't on the call who doesn't want to spend 2.5 hours listening to it again. On the subject of who we should have talking and that, I think if any of the speakers feel, as you point out there, that 5 minutes was too short, and 5 minutes is very short, and it was very well managed, the webinar as well, because you didn't go over time stupidly with anything, so I think that was done extremely well as well. But if anybody is such as WIPO or anybody else who's there, John Berryhill is probably going to be there. I don't see any problem personally in extending an invitation to all those who spoke, saying if you'd like to participate or if you would like to say more than you were able to in your 5 minutes, you are welcome. We're putting together speakers, and we will consider anybody. So then we're not doing anything different to WIPO. We'll consider WIPO, and if everybody suddenly says they want to come, which is highly unlikely, we don't have to repeat, as John says, a session for which 2.5 hours becomes 5 hours because we give everybody 10 minutes. But I would imagine, because very few people will be in, Singapore will probably have maybe half a dozen people who want to participate and say a bit more. But I think you should run the lead on it and go through the issues report in you know, a fair bit of detail, not just the recommendations, as Christina says, and then follow up with those people who want, you know, who do want to say something, and then definitely have an open mic.
This is Christina. I would agree with David with a slight suggestion, and that is, to the extent that, that speakers want to, you know, speakers from the webinar want to participate in the session, I think it would be helpful to get, ask them to specifically respond to the recommendation. I don't. I guess at this point, I think it's more productive for if WIPO wants to say more, or John Berryhill wants to say more, or you know the woman from BMW wants to say more. I don't have a problem with that, but I think it would be helpful to have those comments in the context of the ICANN staff recommendation. The preliminary issue report is not to have a PDP and to proceed that, if at all, only on process issues and in this way. And I think having their input on that particular point would be particularly helpful. I'm not sure at this point it's particularly helpful to have somebody going on and on and on about, you know, cyber squatters.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, in terms of how I turn this into a final issue report, that certainly would be the most helpful for me, you know, to really understand what the criticism is and what the, you know, viewpoint is of the staff recommendations, so that I can include that when, you know, in the final report. So that would be helpful to me.
Right. I mean, just asking them, you know, here's the recommendation. Do you agree with it? If so, why? And if you do, what issues would you suggest be dealt with by these experts? And if you don't agree with it, why?
And the other thing it would be really useful too is to take a look at the list, because some of this was you know, on my part, a judgment call on whether I thought it was a policy issue or a process issue, and others may disagree with that and think that it's a, you know, it's more of a policy issue, you know, so that might, you know, have bearing on the final report as well.
I mean, having said all that, I don't think Mary's not on the call, is she, or Jeff?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reluctant to say that we should make any final decisions until they've had a chance to weigh in.
Sorry, a question. Carlos Aguirre here. When you talk about names or experts, you are defining who? Who are the experts invited, or the experts will be present at the Singapore meeting, or will be at remote connection? I don't know, because it's different the meeting if they are at the meeting or not.
That's a good question, Carlos. I would get. I mean, my personal preference is to have people who are present, are personally, you know, physically in Singapore. It's. I have managed meetings where we've had remote speakers, and sometimes with the logistics, it's difficult to really, you know, coordinate their participation and to hear them. I mean, I wish we were better at it at ICANN, but we're still kind of learning the you know that process. And also I think by limiting it to folks that are going to be physically in Singapore, we'll have a smaller group of people participating, which I think is better. I think 18 people would be too many for this session.
Excellent.
Christina, to address your point on not wanting to you know finalize anything here, I can certainly send an email out to the list to solicit feedback from Jeff and
yeah, I think
Mary.
That would be helpful to just kind of send a call recap in terms of, you know, here's what the folks on the call discussed, here's the direction we were leaning in, speak up now or forever hold your peace.
Sure.
Sure, and we have time.
David here, Marty. I was going to say, yeah, I certainly agree with that. And I think if we can, you know, maybe you could send out an email afterwards or suggest, just so Jeff and Mary know, the idea of sending an email to the people who attended, who are on the webinar, so that any of them who are going to be in Singapore and did wish to elaborate or respond on the issues report, the preliminary issues report, to go ahead. And then also maybe there we can ask, you know, if anyone's got any other suggestions for other speakers, you know, certainly introduce two or three more. But I agree, we don't want to go to 18. I think this should be quite a small group to make it workable.
Okay. Any other suggestions or comments? Now, I don't hear any. Do we need to schedule a follow-up call, or do you think we can do this now by email? I guess my inclination is to do everything by email at this point on, but I just want to, you know, if you all feel it's necessary to get on another phone call, we certainly can.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. If you find you need another call, then, you know, feel free. Out of interest, did you find, for drafting this, Marge, did you find the webinar to be, you know, pretty helpful then?
Oh, absolutely. It's so much easier to write this one now after the webinar than before the webinar. I didn't, you know, a lot of the themes that I pick up on are themes I would have said, but it's a lot harder to have it be my opinion, which, you know, I'm not really an expert in the UDRP like some of these folks are, and so... And just, you know, to find the support for the statements, it would have been a lot more difficult. So I really like this approach, and I think it, you know, it was a good way of fleshing out the issues. And from a personal standpoint, you know, a lot of these statements I would have picked up on anyways. But you know, being able to reflect community viewpoint. Always better than having it be a staff viewpoint. I mean, it's just, you know, open to, you know, a lot more challenge when, you know, well, staff does this, staff does that. Well, you know, what's their basis for it? And that was the part I was struggling with, is trying to find the basis for some of the statements that I knew would come up with this issue. So I thought it was helpful. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that, for those of you that have read the issue report, the description of the webinar, does that help explain the issue a little more?
I think so.
It certainly was okay for me. I mean, this is my first brush with this stuff, and it seemed like a pretty reasonable way to go.
Yep, no, I agree as well, I think. And so I think the report just reads really, really well. You really do cover a lot of the areas and a lot of the problems, and it's a sticky subject. It's certainly not an easy one to deal with.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is our new approach that we're recommending in the PDP report that's going to be published, I think, today, if it hasn't already been published. And I personally like it. I think it makes it a lot easier to write an issue report. And I like the point of opening a public comment now, because if we're off on our recommendations or you know, we can solicit public input, you know, we can, you know, clarify areas that might be confusing. So there's a lot of benefit to doing an approach like this. So I'm really happy with it. All right. Well, I think we're basically done, unless any of you have any other items you'd like to discuss.
Margie, this is off topic, but I'm looking at what's on the website for the Singapore meeting schedule. How close is that to being set?
I don't know. Glenn can probably answer that. She's been on more of the meetings calls. Glenn, are you still on? Glenn, she must not be on. I think it's pretty set. Why?
I was just trying to get a sense of kind of which sessions were going to be when, because I think, you know, the UDRP session is, I'm sure, not the only one that trademark owners are going to want to comment on ahead of time. Like, you know, clearinghouse implementation, for example.
Right.
you know, and I don't want to put words in David's mouth, but, you know, he and I are going to be in the GAC session, which runs simultaneously. And as somebody who spent more hours than I care to think about writing that section of the IRT report, I have some very clear ideas of what should and should not happen in implementation. So, you know, to the extent that I can kind of get some response from IPC members who aren't going to be in Singapore as to which sessions they think they might want to kind of put comments in ahead of time or find out, you know, what the pre-session remote participation capabilities are going to be, I don't want to send this around if it's likely to change significantly.
My understanding is that it's pretty firm at this point. There were a lot of conflicts that we kind of worked through, and unfortunately that trademark clearinghouse one was one where we couldn't find another time for and realize there would be some conflict. But it's such a busy schedule with all the different topics. I would say it's pretty firm at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And again, I want to apologize for the mix-up last week. Our calendar system was all goofed up, and so I'm sorry you guys got on the call and wasted your time. That rarely happens, but it happened here. Thank you all for all your help, and we'll talk soon.
Great.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.